Where is God when the news is bad? Where is God when the news is bad? Now, let's see. Somebody prayed about technology. Yes, please. There we go. That's the question. Start here. I'm going to start with my dad as an example. He's 7 years old. He lives in Bristol, Staple Hill. And the war's on. So in the evenings, they would, as a family, live in one of these in the back garden. They build one. It's an Anderson shelter. And you sleep in there overnight, and then the next day you come out again. The idea being that if a bomb drops near you, then you might be okay if you're in the Anderson shelter. If it lands on your Anderson shelter, it's lights out, literally. One day, my dad and his older brother Stuart, his younger sister Kathleen, are staying in there with their mum. The dad's out doing ambulance work, or my granddad. The next morning they come out, they go into the front room, and they look out at the street in front of them, and the houses. They look out, but there are no houses. They've been blown up. They go to school. They get to the school. The school's been blown up. A week or so later, they have a new plan, and they go to the school a bit further on. And that school, what they did is in the afternoons, the school that got blown up would have school in the afternoons, and the school that was already resident there would be in the mornings. Roughly a month after that, the school that's still standing gets obliterated. No school at all. Now, it depends on how you feel about school, but overall, it's not a good thing. They move to Plymouth. They're not long there when that gets blown up as well. So then they end up in a tiny village in Cornwall, in a house that's got no water, no electricity, they got no food, and people used to bring it for them. It affected my grandmother throughout her life. She used to have a hoard of tinned food, because she was always convinced that World War III was around the corner. It was fantastic. I loved the smell in there, and I loved playing shops in there. It was great. And we used to laugh at my gran, but she was sure, and she was stockpiling. She'd have got on great in COVID. She'd have pointed the finger at me for sure. Innocent people. Yeah, bad stuff happening. What's the answer to that? I'm going to jump straight to the answer, and then we're going to work it through. The answer comes to remember something really important, and this comes from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who's Victorian. God is too good to be unkind, too wise to make mistake, to be mistaken, and when you can't trace his hand, that means when you can't see what God's up to, you can trust his heart. Let's say that together, please. God is too good to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken, and when you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Easy to say, but harder to do, but really important. It's a key answer to remember when the bad news comes. What's the bridge between the bad news and that kind of thinking? It's a bridge. a solid bridge, which is what we're going to remember at Holy Communion today. We remember that Jesus came. He didn't come for fun. He came because the world is broken, to bring hope, to bring renewal, to bring a new future to each one, to bring peace between God and humankind. He came to rise, to die on a cross to forgive our sins. He came to rise again. He came that one day he's coming back again to put a stop to all the stuff going on, whether it be a Second World War or much more recently. Key Bible verse today. Let's say this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. There's that word. With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own emotions. Lean not on what you're feeling that day. No. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him. And he'll make your path straight. He'll get you through one way or the other. That's the broad brush. Issue, you can choose loads. Plenty, plenty. As a minister, you see them almost every day. There's a solution there, which is trust. The bridge is what God has done through Jesus Christ and is doing for us even today. And to hold on to that hard and tough and strongly. Where is God when bad things happen in the news? The news headlines in Jerusalem were grim. They were bad, really bad. People worshipping in the temple, Galileans they were, so from where many of the disciples were from, been worshipping in the temple. Soldiers, under the instruction of Pilate, you remember Pilate, sends him into the temple and kills a load of people, unarmed people, Galileans. And their blood is described as being mixed with the blood of the sacrifices. Whoo! That's the headline under discussion. Next headline under discussion, tower block. A tower block has collapsed. Number of people have been killed. This is from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. The conversation going on in the crowd around Jesus is, well, what is it that the Galileans have done wrong? Why did that happen to them? And Jesus stops the lot of them and he says, what? Do you really think you're any better than those people that have died, those Galileans? He said then, verse 5, what you need to focus on is, are you right with God? Have you repented? Repent means, it's a technical word, but it means you're going in one direction, you turn round, and you're going in another direction. And he's saying to these people, you're going in one direction. Are you sure that you've turned round and are going in my direction, God's direction? Because you need to be confident of that, because that will really help you. Because when you have peace with God, then you can have peace with the people around you. When you know you've been truly forgiven, you can forgive other people. And the more people that are Jesus followers, the more that are in the forgiveness people, the better that there is peace in the world. You truly become a peacemaker when you've made peace with God. Your identity is not based on being a Galilean, or from whatever country you're from. It's based on Jesus and all that he's done for you. On the cross, all he's done for you in his resurrection, and all that he's going to do in the future as he comes back again. And in the meantime, we're to be on mission. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has value. Each one of us is deeply, amazingly loved. As we will be finding out at communion today, we're remembering what all that he gave his life. He sacrificed everything for us. He came to this earth for us, for you. So, Jesus says to the people, are you right with me? Are you right with God? And if today you need to do that, then take that opportunity. Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me what I've done wrong. I want to live for you from now on. I want to take up the challenge, the cross, the sacrifice, because I know that you are the way and the truth and the life. Next chapter. So that was Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks about towers again. Maybe because the people he was talking to, it's still very fresh in their mind. Don't know that. I'm adding that in. But he says to the people, now imagine, use your imagination creatively, he says. I want you to imagine that you're going to build a tower block. This is verse 28. And imagine this tower block's going to have really good foundations to it. And then I want you to imagine that you're like an architect. I want you to work out how much it's going to cost. And then I want you to decide whether you can afford it. Jesus was talking about counting the cost of following him. It's okay saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. That's really important. But he wants you to figure it out, think it through. Because it is a sacrifice. Because we're giving our identity to God primarily. We're not going to gain it from our pension plan, from what school we went to, from the high level of the doctorate we got at university, stuff like that. We're going to get our primary identity in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And that means we step off being in charge. We step off from deciding where is God in this situation. We step off from saying, I know better than God knows. That's really hard. But we're helped with it, aren't we? We're helped with it by the Holy Spirit of God. We haven't got time to go into that today, but God's Holy Spirit, and he's in this room right now. You can't see him, but you can feel him, sense him. But sometimes when really bad news comes, when there's that phone call that shakes you to the core, you wonder, where's God? And that's when you have to grab hold of Bible verses, hymns, statements such as, God is too good to be unkind, too wise to make mistakes, and when I can't trace his hand, I'm going to trust his heart. I'm going to trust that he really loves me, and he really cares for me. He's got my back, and he's going to get me through this, no matter how. And even if it ends up that I step into eternity, God's with me, and he's going to be there. Big stuff. Following Jesus is not for those who haven't got the courage to step forward. It's for the people who realize, hey, hang on, I can't do this on my own. Children, any children here today, including Joy at the back, I can see you bouncing around. Joy, come on down the front. I got you to do a demonstration of what I mean. I've got the Jenga blocks back. That was a few weeks ago if you weren't here. Can you kids come up while I'm just trying to sort this out? This is not tricky. Come on, Thomas. Okay. So, if you can come here. So, Jack, come this end. Hold there. Thomas, Joy, Lacey. Grab a bit there, Thomas. Right. Actually, do the side. Actually, come around the sides here. There. And you go that side. So, I know, Joy, come a bit there, further that way. I know you've got big muscles. Right. What I want you to do is to pull this cloth that way when I say on the count of three. One, two, three. Pull. Fantastic. That's a demonstration. Give them a round of applause. Why? Thank you, Joy. Do you get caught? Sometimes in our lives, that kind of happens to our plans and purposes and what we've got in mind. It just goes crash. Kabang. And sometimes that can even be a good thing because it reminds us to be focused on what really matters. It reminds us, hang on, am I right with God? Or this thing that I've been relying on through your life gets shaken and lost. You think, wow, hang on, maybe there's something I'm missing here. And you find the missing in Jesus. Third story is the one we read out aloud. I'm making quite a mess up here, but not to worry. I'm going to tell the story with an adaptation here and there. What might this story be saying to you? What might Jesus be speaking to you about today? This is story number three. In red is Nigel. In blue is Tim. Nigel and Tim decide they're going to build a house. They're not going to go to developers like over the way here. No, they're going to do it themselves. Nigel and his cat, called Ginger, decide that they've got a great idea. I'm on it. I know what to do. They go and build by a very nice patch of sand next to the river. It's very easy to build on that plot. It's going to be straightforward. Great views. Fantastic fishing. You can almost fish from the bedroom window. It is perfect. Nigel's well happy. Tim, on the other hand, he's not so sure that's a good idea. He wants to really think it through. He's got some architect plans. He's got some drawings. He's going to really think it. Oh, what must I do? Oh, and he's going down to detail. Well, Nigel starts on his project. And sure enough, it starts going really well. He marks out the land. He's going to have he's going to have quite a nice little pad here. It's going to be good. He's feeling quite confident. And it's not long before he's built his really nice house. And here he is in a deck chair with his cat, Ginger, and a glass of lemonade. And he's enjoying the summer sunshine. He's done. This is fantastic. And they see on the horizon or over the other side, they see is their friend, Tim. And they laugh at him. Oh, Tim, come off it. Why are you putting all that commitment in? Why aren't you enjoying the summer sun? Oh, and if you're right by the riverbank, it is fantastic. You see all sorts of wonderful wildlife, the herons. You can go fishing. You can walk in the sand. It's lovely to have the sand between your toes. Oh, it's great. Ha, ha, ha. That Tim, he's a chump. If you don't know what a chump is, ask me later. Tim, meanwhile, thinks to himself, right, I'm going to build on solid rock. It's going to be strong. It's going to be hard. I'm going to get sweaty and smelly, but I'm going to go for it. And he gets his big axe and starts to smash into the rock, bit by bit by bit. It's hard, though. Not easy. But he's going to build it on solid ground. And sure enough, eventually, after ages and ages, he builds his house. And it's a good one. And it's strong. And he's pleased with it. But it wasn't half hard work. Well, by now, it's the rainy season and the rains have started. But he's got his roof on, tin's okay, and he goes in and watches a bit of TV. The rain gets more. It's a bit like the last week or two. The River Avon gets higher and higher, and you think, oh, it's going to go over the bridge soon. Bit like that. The water builds up and builds up, and Nigel starts to get a little bit worried. Oh, it's getting a little bit near my house. Where's the sandy bank gone? Over the way, there's Tim, but he's on a solid rock, so he's not comfortable, but he's thinking, well, I have built it really carefully, and I have prepared for this situation. Well, the rains kept coming up, and eventually, poor Nigel's house collapsed under the torrent of the water. Took his house away. Roof came crashing down. He and Ginger got flung out of their house and into the water. It was dramatic. It was devastating. It was depressing. He starts floating down the river, Nigel and his cat. But our friend Tim made a good choice. He's on the solid rock and he flings a sling and grabs hold of his friend and pulls him in. Nigel is soaking wet, as well as his cat, Ginger, but they're saved. I wonder what that story means. Well, normally Jesus doesn't tell the answer to the parables. He lets you figure it out. But if, Stuart, we could go back to the beginning of our Bible reading, we start to get a clue, and you might be able to see links into what we've been talking about today. So I'm not going to explain it all to you. Verse 47, Jesus said, I will show you what a person is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. So which one is that? Which, in my story, who's that? What's the name? Tim. Okay, let's carry on a bit further. So he's like a man who built a house. He dug down deep, laid foundations on a rock. When the flood came, what happened to Tim? He survived, didn't he? Next slide, please. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man whose name is Nigel. And Nigel built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent came, it collapsed and the destruction was complete. Different ways Jesus tells people, you don't know what's going to happen in your life. Be ready. But I'm with you. Make that commitment. Live for me. Because my heart is for you 100%. And I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forget about you. I'm going to lead you forward. Different frames onto the subject today. But all of it focuses down on Jesus and what he has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do in the future. Jesus is coming back again.